Been great to be in the house of the Lord. The choir sounded fantastic. Brother, that "Because He Lives" was good. I needed that this morning. Brother Ty, that was good. Sometimes people talk about the places they get to go, the things they get to see. Greatest times I've ever had in my life have been in the house of God. I'm glad I'm here this morning. I'm glad I'm saved. Got something on my heart that's really been on my heart this week. I told my wife, I was trying to study, I don't know what in the world God's going to do with this, but we're going to try our best. I'm just going to deliver to you the things that God have laid on my heart. I'm going to read out of Proverbs chapter number 13, and I'm going to read verse number 12, a verse that sometimes I quote, but I want to preach around this verse this morning. And I want to preach on this subject, God willing, is finding lost hope. You know, as Christians, sometimes we go through periods of our lives that we have hope, we have expectations, we have plans, and those plans change. Sometimes they change in spite of us, and they change even if we try to make it differently, we can't. And we have to come to the place in our lives that we draw up close to God because He is the real only constant sometimes. Amen. That we can look forward to. Amen. People change, the world changes, our health changes, our relationships change, our jobs change, but God doesn't change. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 13 in verse number 12, the scripture says this: "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Hope deferred is when hope is lost. It's when you think you have hope or you have an understanding, but all of a sudden you find yourself that you've lost hope. I want to look at what hope is for just a minute, the word, the verb, the noun, and then understand that hope is to cherish or desire with expectation of fulfillment, to long for with expectation of obtainment, to expect with desire or trust. You know, we have those types of hopes in our lives, but I believe there's more. It's deeper. Hope as a noun is trust, reliance, desire accompanied by expectation of belief in fulfillment. But then there is the word hopeless. And hopeless is having no expectation of good or success, not susceptible to remedy or curse, despairing, desperate, and impossible. And can I tell you, as Christians, we're not hopeless. And I think we know that we're not hopeless because our hope comes from the Lord. But sometimes I believe Christians find themselves between hope and hopelessness. Because the hope that they had, or the hope that they walked in, or the hope that they lived in, has been pulled from them. It's like that hope is lost. There are things and occurrences in our life that cause us to be in a very difficult position. And I want to share with you something that really stirred in my heart, because God was already dealing with me around this verse. And I'll tell you how it works with a preacher. If you're a preacher and or a teacher, I believe this is true too, that everything in life, God speaks. I mean, I can't see the sunrise without seeing God. I can't see the sunset without seeing God. And I can't, a lot of times, even watch a movie without looking for God. Sometimes I don't find God and I just turn it off. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I was watching a cartoon one time with some of the kids, and I told one of my boys this week, I said, "I've watched all the Barney, the VeggieTales, and all the Despicable Me that a human being at my age should have to endure." But you know, you go through different places in life and different stages of life. And you know, sometimes when the grandkids are there, when the kids were little, I watched cartoons. And I remember watching Kung Fu Panda. And I got a line from Kung Fu Panda that I preached on several times, and it works right here. It is. It said this. This is what the sensei, or whatever, jinsei, whatever they call them. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He said, he was talking about life. He said, "Yesterday is history, Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift. And that's why we call it the present. Now here I am with the kids watching a cartoon. I grabbed my book and I started studying. Well, I was watching something this week, and it was a movie about a prison camp during one of the conflicts. And as I begin to look at it, obviously trying to find something, you know, to pass a little bit of time in the afternoon as I was there and I was doing other things, it was on, and I only get a few pictures and parts of it, but they're in the prison camp. Can you imagine being in a prison camp? You know, you and I in our lives, we go through things and we go through difficulty. And I've said this, I'll continue to say it as we get closer and closer to the return of the Lord, is folks, don't say it cannot get any worse. Don't say because of the difficulty and the trouble in your life that it can't get any worse. Oh, yes, it can. It can get worse even after you've gotten the phone call. But I watched these men that were in the prison camp, and could you imagine what life would be like in a prison camp as you're taken prisoner and you're stripped of what you have? You're starved and you're beaten, you're degraded. You're given the minimal to sustain life, and you're thrown into a place that rats don't want to live in. And you're there and you're being mistreated, and you see people around you hurting and people dying, and you see pain and you see sickness. And there's the question among many people, especially if you could imagine being in a prison camp in the middle of a Vietnamese jungle or in the middle of one of the islands in the South Pacific during World War II. Or in one of the concentration camps during World War II when the Germans treated human beings worse than dogs. And you ask the question, will I ever get home? And as I begin to look at that, God began to stir in my heart as I watched further. How do you cope? How do you find a way to take steps to move forward? And as I begin to watch just a little bit, there was one man in this prison camp. He was a Christian, and he began to try to encourage the people. He built a very large cross out of wood, and he set it up, and they worshiped the Lord in the middle of a prison camp. When people were sick, he tried to help them. And one thing that really stuck out to me was there was a time as they approached the end of the war and there was a bombing. Some of the enemy's soldiers were injured. And as they came into the camp from another camp, he went over to them, even though he was told not to by the guards, and he began to bind up the wounds of the enemy. He asked for water, and when they brought him water, he began to comfort and care for those who had done him wrong. You know, as I watched that, could you imagine? How do you find your hope in a prison camp? Sometimes I believe the way you find your hope is you have to look in the right place. You see, because sometimes I believe the reason that we've lost hope or we can't find our hope is we're looking for hope in the things that we do not have, rather than the things that we do have. Now, as I begin to think about that, and I want to share with you something that God began to show me in His Word, but I want to think about what does it mean when you begin to lose your hope? You see, when hope is lost, your heart is sick. That's what causes a person to lose the desire to move forward. Folks, I want you to understand something. As Christians, some of you know this, but some people are afraid to be honest because they're afraid of being judged by others. Depression is real. You see, what hope does when it's lost, it creates sickness in the heart. It creates a loss of desire. It creates a loss of will. because there is a loss of expectation, because a person says, well, you know, the things that I hoped for, they're gone. The things that I expected, they're gone. My life is not in the position that I thought it would be. And the loss of expectation creates a loss of motivation. And many times, even Christian people find themselves in the mornings curling up in the bed and not wanting to get up and go to work. It makes it easy when the devil thinks he's got you defeated that you roll up in a ball and you say, I'm just not going to go to church this morning. I'm just not going to go forward. I'm not going to say what I think anymore. I'm not going to try to help anybody anymore, because the words that I've said, they don't seem to be doing any good. I want to tell you something. That is when hope has been deferred. Because the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. There is examples in the Word of God of people who had hope deferred. I think it's important when you read the book of Job or you read the book of Proverbs that you understand the condition of the person and the position that they were in when they wrote and penned those words. When Job penned the words here, and when it was penned in chapter 14, verse number 1 through verse number 2, here's what Job said. He said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down, and he fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Do we understand where Job was at? Do we understand that Job was within his house and he was praying that God would watch over his children, perhaps lest they sin? He prayed on their behalf when the runners came and told him that everything that he had been taken from him. And here he is, a Christian, a man of God, a man that followed God per se. I know this was before Christ, but a man that believed in God. And what did he do? He fell down among the ashes. Hope was deferred. You read through many of these scriptures in the book of Job, and you see the condition of the man. But in our lives, isn't it similar? Life is full of struggles. Things happen that we can't control. We deal with situations. We deal with loss. We deal with sickness. We deal with COVID. We deal with troubles. This life is truly full of struggles, but does our hope lie only in those things? And we know that it really doesn't. So why do we lose hope? One reason that I believe that we lose hope is because we have limited sight. We just can't see everything. We don't understand everything. And we base our hope up here based on our expectation or what we think would happen or what our plans are, when all along we don't have the mind or the wisdom of God, and we have to learn to adjust to the will of God once it is right in the front of us. I heard a true story, a story of a man, and you know, we've had some rough storms the past few weeks, right? Some of these stories I heard, and you know, some of the tornadoes at some of the schools, children were in the schools and the parents were driving toward the school to go and be with their children. And when they got to the school, the storm was so bad that the children went into the classrooms and they were there sheltering with the children until the tornadoes passed. That happened just this past week. I heard a story of an event that occurred out in California, a true story. There was a fire at a school, and you know, it came on the radio. Could you imagine that? Your children are at a very large school, and there's a fire at the school, and you're driving down the road. You know what you're going to do as a parent? You go straight to where the kids are. A man went to the school, and he knew where his son's classroom was at. It was up on the second floor of a particular part of the school, and they hadn't got to that portion yet, and there was smoke coming out of some of the windows, and it was covering the windows, and he was screaming up for his son, and his son came to the window, and he said, Daddy, Daddy, is that you? I can hear you. And he said, yes, son, it's me. I can see you. Stay in that window. And he said, Daddy, I can't see you. There's too much smoke. And he said, son, I can see you. He said, son, I want you to get on the edge of the window, and I want you to jump, and I will catch you. And the son said, Dad, I can't. I'm afraid to jump. Daddy, I can't see you. There's too much smoke. Well, the dad said this. He said, but son, I can see you. And if you'll trust me, and if you'll jump, I'll catch you, because I'm not going to drop you. I care too much about you. I'll give you everything that I've got, but you've got to trust me, son. I want you to understand something in our relationship with God. Sometimes we lose hope because we have limited sight, but God sees all. He understands all, and he's never left his children without comfort or help. We have limited sight. We also have limited understanding. You know, if you go through the book of Job and you see the suffering of Job, you see the judgment of Job's friends, and if you're a Baptist, you've dealt with that somewhere in your life. Job had to come to the point that he got close to God in the midst of his circumstance. Sometimes it is the challenges and the circumstances of our life that really cause us to find out who God is, because it is during those times that we learn what intimacy with the Almighty really means, because we either get close to him. Sometimes, just be real, we're either going to get close to God or we're going to turn our back on God. Because that's exactly what happens when our hope has been deferred. Job went on and he began to speak, and he talked to God, and God reasoned with him. You know, sometimes our vision is so limited, we can only see what's in front of us. But Job began to understand who God was to the extent that he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye hath seen thee for myself. My relationship with you, God, has restored the hope that I have. Now, before we try to fully understand what it means to find lost hope, I want to show you an example from the Scripture. I began to think about this, and I was asking God to show me something in His Word. And God began to show me the story of the disciples. You see, the disciples had hope born when they met Jesus Christ. You see, Matthew was sitting at the receipt of custom, and Jesus come by and he said, follow me. Peter was out there fishing, and Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And he come by and he picked this one and he picked that one, and before you know it, he's got these 12 apostles following him, and everywhere he goes, Jesus is doing something great. In the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse number 41, the people saw what Jesus was doing, and they said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You go over to John chapter 7 in verse number 46. Now, it was a storm in their lives that let them see who God was, but they spoke and said, never a man spake like this man, because even the winds obey him. He spoke and the storms were calm. The disciples were with him on that day when he was there, and there was a great multitude of 5,000 besides women and children, and they were hungry. And Jesus said, set them down. He called a little boy up that just had 2 loaves and 5 fish, and he told the disciples to set them down in companies, and he took it and he blessed it and he broke it and he lifted it up to heaven. And when they were done, those disciples took up 12 baskets full, one for each of them, so that they would know the power and the magnitude of the God that they served. They saw him do the miracles. They saw the power. They saw the blind receive sight. They saw the lame walk. They saw the dumb speak. They saw demons cast out and flee. They saw the poor have the gospel preached unto them. The multitudes fed. And they followed Jesus, knowing that he was different than anything they had ever seen or heard. As they followed him, they believed that he was who he said he was. He was Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, prophesied in the Old Testament. So much so that even when their understanding was challenged, remember in John chapter number 6 when Jesus was there and he spoke to the multitude and he spoke words that they didn't understand, and the scripture says that many of them turned and went away, but he turned to his disciples and he said, "Will ye also go away?" But they spoke and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life." You see, they had gotten to the point that even when they didn't fully understand, they still knew that he was who he said he was. So much so, you go over to the 8th chapter of the book of Mark. Folks, I could be here a while. I'm going to have to move through this. Jesus was sitting there and he was talking to Peter and he told him the things that was going to happen. Jesus told him, he said, "They're going to take me and they're going to crucify me." And then Peter said, No, that's not going to happen. We're not going to let it happen. Peter was passionate about his feelings like we are sometimes, but didn't really fully understand God's plan. You see, hope was born in them. They had an understanding and an expectation of what they wanted Jesus to do while he was here. But their hope is what they understood, what they saw, what they expected. But the next thing that happened was when hope was deferred. Because in Luke chapter number 23, verse number 33 through 35, it says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors on the right hand and the other on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ." What I want you to see for just a period of time, the disciples' hope was deferred. Now, we know what happens in a few days, but let's look at where they're at right now. What I want you to see is them seeing Jesus being taken from them and Jesus being stripped and beaten and nailed to a cross. And I want you to see those disciples there gathered around Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the others that were there weeping. And they said this, "We thought he was the one. We thought he was the one the prophets wrote of. We thought he was the one that Moses spoke of. But we see Jesus on the cross and we see him being crucified." The sorrow, the discouragement, the disappointment, as they said, "We thought that he would deliver us." So I believe for a period of time, hope was deferred. Now, if you had time to read all the scripture, you'll realize he had told them what would happen, but hadn't God already told us what's going to happen? Sometimes, even though God's told us what's going to happen, isn't sometimes our hope deferred? Isn't sometimes we get to the point in our life that we know who God is, we know how powerful God is, but because we don't really have an understanding, we have a limited understanding and a limited sight, we get just like these disciples were. Well, what's the rest of the verse? It says, "Consider when desire cometh." What is when desire cometh? Here's when desire cometh. It is when lost hope is found. If you go down to Matthew chapter number 28, Jesus had been laid in the tomb. But your scripture says that very early in the morning, they come to the tomb there to anoint him. And when they get over there to where the tomb's at, they find the stone has been rolled back, and there's an angel standing there, a messenger from God. And they said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, for he is risen." And they go in, and they find the grave clothes have collapsed. They find the garment upon his face had been folded and laid into place. And all of a sudden, these women believe God. You know what old Peter did? He heard about it. Here he comes. Old passionate Peter. He's running over there and he looks in. Even then they didn't get it all. Because the disciples are walking on the road to Emmaus. Can you ever been walking along and somebody come up and you're just getting to talking to them? They're walking along on the road to Emmaus, and here comes Jesus up behind them, and he begins to talk to them. And they begin to talk to him, and he's talking to him. And the scripture has said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as we walked with him?" And we were sad. And Jesus began to explain the scriptures unto them. And if you read the Bible, you find, I believe it's 9 different times that Jesus appeared to the disciples before he ascended into heaven. I want to tell you, when hope is brought back and desire cometh, it's when you realize that what you thought and what you understood, it's not all that there is. You see, these that believed him, so believed him that they lived their entire lives for him. Every one of the disciples ended up becoming martyrs at some point because they believed it to the death. Why? Because the hope that they had was found in Christ Jesus as a risen Lord and Savior, and able to do more by rising from the dead to save every generation. Amen. Fulfilling the scripture and the word of God. You see, they had to go through all of it, all of the things they went through, to be able to fully understand what was written in the word of God. So if we look at this and we understand this, the disciples found their lost hope when they saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ. How do we find our lost hope? You know, the recent example I mentioned of the prison camp. You imagine being in a prison camp, your hope's lost. Maybe hope is found in making a cross from 2 pieces of wood. Maybe your hope can be found from making a bandage to help the hurting. Maybe your hope can be found by giving an encouraging word to help the suffering. Sometimes we're willing to help the hurting, we're willing to help the suffering, but we want to pick them. I tell you, when we're really going to get to where we get a blessing from God, it's when we do what we do for God according to God's plan and not our plan. Because I believe that our hope is deferred based sometimes upon what we do not have rather than looking at what we do have. See, I want us to look at a few things that I believe we have and that would strengthen our hope if we understand the strength and the power of God. See, strength, hope is not found in what I am or who I am, but it is found in the great I am. See, when I consider what am I or who am I, folks, I have my limitations and you have yours. We have our limitations of strength. We have our limitations of ability. But the great I am is still the great I am. And here's what I want you to understand. Even in the prison camp, he's still God. When you're in prison, he's still God. When the doctors call and they give you the report that you don't want to hear, he's still God. When troubles come, he's still God. When the phone rings and you are on the other end and your heart melts, and I believe if you never had a time in your life that the phone ring and when you heard the man on the other end or the one speaking, you fall to your knees. Folks, I've been there. He's still God. The reasons that we can have hope in the great I am as children of God, is we can say this: I am a born-again child of God. Now, folks, if I'm in a prison camp, I am a born-again child of God. Whatever tomorrow holds, I am a born-again child of God. Whatever the doctor tells me, I am a born-again child of God. How about this one? I am never alone. There's some people that cannot say that. I know I'm one of those personalities that can spend a lot of time out in the middle of nowhere by myself, and everybody can't. And I know there's some personality issues to consider, and I get it. But here's what I want you to understand. As a Christian, you are never, ever alone. You'll never face a circumstance that you face it by yourself. You'll never be in a situation that you have trouble, that you're alone. You'll never be in a place that you'll reach out for help and be alone, because God is always with you. I am never alone. What about this one? Sometimes the world looks at you and they say, well, I'm just going to do this to you. And it seems like the end. Like I told the guy last week, he said, any day above ground. Above ground? I'm spending eternity with Jesus, man. They're not going to put me in a hole in the ground and I'm gone. When the breath leaves my body, I'm going to my heavenly home. The devil can't do nothing about it. I am going to spend eternity in heaven. And I am going to be satisfied. I'm going to tell y'all real quick. I'm going to move to this last point. When you get to heaven, you will be satisfied. You won't get up there and think, oh, I thought it'd be this way, or oh, I thought it'd be that way. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. I want to tell you, you will be satisfied. I kid my wife. She says, you know, it's like heaven's going to be the beaches of Florida. I say, no, it's going to be the mountains and cool. Let me say this. We both going to be satisfied. My boys introduced me to a song, The Outskirts of Heaven with the Fields of Green. I just think, ooh, I can't hardly wait. I want to do what I'm supposed to do here, but I don't care what the world says or does. I am going to heaven, and I will be satisfied. And here's something else, church. I am going to see my loved ones again. You ever think about your dad that's been gone on for years? Your mom, your granny, your grandmother. Remember the days that they used to cook the cornbread and they'd open the window and they'd set it up in the window and let it cool because they didn't have air conditioning? Remember walking through the kitchen and you smell the food and they'd run you out? You remember everything that you did? Your granny couldn't speak to you without mentioning the name of Jesus. I am going to see my loved ones again. Sometimes the most difficult times in our life, what it does is it forces us to understand that the most important things in life really boil down to having a right relationship with God, so that you can spend eternity enjoying the things of God, knowing that everything you have here is temporal. So the question, is your hope deferred based on what you do not have, rather than looking at it and understanding what you do have? Because if you and I take the time that we have on this earth and we make a bandage, if we take the time that we have on this earth and we try to find an encouraging word, what I found that helps me more than anything is not looking at myself, but trying to help somebody else. It was amazing to me as I watched that program and God just began to deal with my heart. He's a chain breaker. And he knows how to deal with the situations of our lives. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when desire cometh, it is a tree of life. See, when you find lost hope, it is a tree of life to the spirit, to the soul, but also for those around you. Because every person's life
has an impact on other people.
I'm going to ask them to play a song. Y'all may think I'm wearing this song out, but I can't get enough of it. Here's what I want you to understand. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what you're going to face. Today is the day to get close to God. Today is the day to talk to God so that you'll be able to face tomorrow. Ask if you would rise to your feet. God spoke to your heart and you'd like to pray. If you don't know Jesus, you can know him. If you've got a burden you want to lay at his feet,
amen.
He's still a chain breaker. Amen. Would you please come?